Matthew chapter 9, we'll begin in verse 18. And here we have another episode of Christ in his earthly ministry, going about to heal and even to raise a young girl, probably about 12 years old, from the dead, who is known as Jairus' daughter. And it's really helpful, I put in your lesson, to look at Mark's version of this and Luke's version. Mark in Mark 5, 21 through 34, and Luke 8, 40 through 48. They give us more information. And I put in here that Mark and Luke were inspired by the Spirit to add more details to the historical account. But there is no contradiction. You know, a lot of people, they'll go to the Synoptic Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and they'll look at differences in the historical accounts, and they'll say, well, see, there's a contradiction. But there's no contradiction. What you have in those situations is men looking at it from different angles. You know, if you see an event happen from one angle and another person sees it from another angle, you can describe the same event, but you'll have different views of it that don't contradict each other. All are true, but it's just a different angle, you know. I've often said it like this. If somebody sees a car wreck, you might be in front of it. Somebody else might be behind it. Somebody else over to the side of it. But you've got to look at the reason that Matthew does what he does, Mark does what he does, and Luke does what he does, as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And Matthew doesn't always put things in chronological progression, because what his emphasis is, he's seeking to simply relay the life of Christ on earth as it appears from the Old Testament prophecies. You know, Matthew always says, and this was done as it was fulfilled, as spoken by the prophet so-and-so, prophet Isaiah or whoever. And he's wanting to point to the Jews to show that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, is the Messiah. Mark has his reason for his gospel and Luke, but they're all the same. But we have some added information in those two. And so when Matthew groups together certain miracles and occurrences in the ministry of Christ, realize his purpose. And it's not a contradiction. Now, the reason I entitled this lesson, The Role of Faith in Salvation, is because of a phrase that Christ spoke when it comes to the woman with the issue of blood. What we have here is two miracles. We have him raising a young girl from the dead, Jairus' daughter, as I said, about 12 years old. And then as he's going to Jairus' house, a woman, it's called the woman with the issue of blood. She had a blood disease for 12 years that caused her to bleed out, hemorrhage. She'd had it for 12 years. And she's the one, when Christ was going to this man's house and a great crowd surrounded him, and this woman said to herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'd be healed. And when she touched the hem of his garment, she was healed. And when Christ pointed out who she was to the disciples, he said this. He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And when you see that, you know, in our day, well, it's been in every age, people have a wrong view of faith. A lot of people, not everybody, believers don't. What does that mean? Your faith hath made you whole. And most people look at something like that and they say, well, if you believe it hard enough, or if you believe it sincerely enough, or if you believe it without any doubts, it'll come true. And that's not what that means. Millions of people believe things sincerely that are just not true. Think about false religion. Somebody believes that God is going to bless me if I do what I'm supposed to do. Well, that's not faith. That's against faith. So we'll get to that in just a moment. But let's look at verse 18 of Matthew chapter 9. It says, while he spoke, now he's been speaking to the Pharisees and to others about issues of fasting and prayer, things like that. He talked about, you know, you can't put a new garment into an old cloth. You can't put new wine into old bottles. We talked about that. And it says, while he spoke these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler. Now, we learn from Mark and Luke that this was a Jewish ruler, a ruler of the Jews, maybe on the Sanhedrin court. And that was a high position. So this was a religious man. This was a man of authority. And we also learn that from Mark and Luke, his name was Jairus. And so but Matthew just says a certain ruler, and it was understood that those who were Jews would read that and they would understand, well, he's talking about a judge on the court of the Sanhedrin, or Sanhedrin, how you want to pronounce that. But look at what it says. This certain ruler, now you remember Nicodemus was a certain ruler too. But look what it says, and worshiped him. He worshiped him. Now, what does that tell you? That tells you that this man knew who Jesus of Nazareth really was. Any self-respecting Jew knew that you don't worship anyone who is not God. It would have been blasphemy to worship any human being. It would have been, they would be accursed to do that. So we know this man knew Jesus of Nazareth to be the Messiah, God manifest in the flesh. Because you don't worship anyone but God. And in fact, it was under the law of Moses, it was a stoning offense to worship idols, to worship human beings. So this man worshiped him. He knew Christ to be the Savior of sinners. The Lord, his righteousness. That's what he knew. And he said to Christ, he said, he worshiped him saying, my daughter is even now dead. Now, there's a little difference in Mark and Luke. Mark and Luke both said that she was nigh unto death. One of them said near death. This phrase here could be translated from the original near death. But it could be that she had just now died and a servant came and told him. Apparently they weren't very far from where he needed to go. But those things are minor. She was dying, and when Christ got there, she was dead. Now, and he raised her from the dead. So don't get caught up in things like that. You know, people who want to discredit the Bible would look at that and say, well, see there, you know, Matthew says this and Mark says, no, it depends on the viewpoint. So that's what you need to understand. And so here he is giving reverence and honor to God manifest in the flesh. And his daughter, his little girl, was near death or had just now died. But understand, she was dead when Christ got there. And he says, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Now that's faith. That's great faith. He knew that if the Lord was willing, he knew the Lord was able. And don't we know that concerning salvation? God says, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. We know if the Lord is willing to save me, he can do it. He is able. He has the ability. Now the Bible says that God is willing to save anyone and everyone who comes to him by faith in Christ. Christ said he'll never turn anyone away. I've heard people say when they want to object or argue against the doctrine of election, they'll say, well, it doesn't matter what I do. If I come to him for salvation, if I'm not elect, he'll reject me. Oh, no. If you come to him for salvation his way, that's an evidence you are one of his elect. You are one of Christ's sheep. Christ said, my sheep will hear my voice. I know them. He redeemed them. He died for his sheep. What does that mean? That means he put away our sins. And they cannot be charged to us. That means we're righteous in God's sight based upon his righteousness imputed, so that any sinner whom God has given life from the dead, who comes to him, he'll receive. Christ said, I will in no wise cast them out. The problem is what? Man by nature will not come to him. You will not come to me that you might have life. Christ said, no man cometh unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up again at the last day. And how's the Father draw us? In the power of the Spirit through the communication of the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation, wherein the righteousness of God is revealed. Paul said, I know your election of God because the gospel came to you not just in word, not just in word spoken, but in power. And what is that power? It's the power of God to bring a sinner, a dead sinner, to life, and give that dead sinner faith in Christ and true repentance of dead works. So that's what we have here. This man knew the Lord God. And it says in verse 19, it says, and Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. So here they are on their way to Jairus' house. And he's going to heal Jairus' daughter. He's going to bring her to life. Well, on the way, now look at verse 20. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched him, the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Think about that. Now this is faith too. Great faith. And so she went into the press, all these people around, and she made her way to him, and she touched the hem of his garment. Now, Mark tells us that she, and I love this, this is in Mark chapter 5, his version of it. Mark tells us that she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. I want you to turn to Isaiah 55. Book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Now there we have a great description of man's futile efforts in false religion to be saved. She'd been to many physicians and spent everything she had, and she was worse off than before. What a picture of false religion in the matter of spiritual life and salvation. Isaiah here in Isaiah 55, listen to verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. How are you going to buy without money? He says, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Something here's free, you see. Wherefore, why do you spend money for that which is not bread? You're spending money for that which cannot feed your hunger. And your labor for that which satisfieth not. You're working for some, you're working to a futile end. Hearken diligently unto me, eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. That means health. Man by nature seeks salvation, seeks forgiveness, seeks righteousness, seeks blessing in things, tries to spend his works, his efforts, his decisions on things that will not work. Just like this woman with the issue of blood. Many doctors, much money, worse off. I think about Christ when he told the Pharisees how they go about trying to make converts of the Gentiles. And he said, all you do is make them twofold more the child of hell than you are. When you get them and proselytize them and make them your disciples, turn them into Jews, all you do is make them worse off than before, just like the woman with the issue of blood. Well, what's our hope? Verse 3 of Isaiah 55 says, incline your ear and come unto me. the Lord God of glory, the God of grace. Hear and your soul shall live. Hear the gospel. Hear the word of grace, the word of righteousness, how God can be just and justify the ungodly. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. What are the sure mercies of David? That's the certainty and the surety of all spiritual blessings that God's people have by his grace in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it is. You know, when we think about faith, the faith of God's elect, here's this woman back in Matthew chapter 9. She said within herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be whole. There was no magic in his garment. You know, I think about that movie, The Robe. Have you ever seen that? The Robe. This slave had the robe of Jesus that they cast lots for. And that robe was going around, and people wanted that robe. You know, the emperor of Rome wanted that robe. He killed a person and laid the robe on him, thinking it'd bring him to life. There's no magic in his robe, his garment. And you know, you remember when they found what they called the Shroud of Turin and all of that? You know, they thought, well, there's something there, you know. The Catholics really got head up on that. Boy, we can make some money here. You know, that kind of thing. It was fake. And even if it wasn't, nothing to it. You know, they say they sell pieces of the cross in the, quote, Holy Land, unquote. If it was the real cross, what would it be? It'd be just a piece of wood. Put it in your fireplace and get warm. That's all it was. You remember when, I think it was King Hezekiah, when they found the brass brazen serpent that Moses lifted up on the pole. I think it was either him or Josiah. I can't remember. I think it was Hezekiah. But he said, grind it into powder. People will worship it. These things that people get so head up on. There was no magic in his robe. But she believed that if she touched the hem of his garment. But it wasn't the garment she was after. It was the Christ. He is the one. And great faith led her to believe that if she could just come into contact with the great physician, she'd be healed. Just like that ruler said up here in verse 18, just lay your hand upon her and she'll live. Well, you and I both know that in other places he didn't have to lay his hand on her. He just spoke. So that's not the issue. And in verse 22, she said within her hands, verse 22, but Jesus turned him, this is Matthew 9:22, but Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole, and the woman was made whole from that hour. I preached a message on this a while back. I don't remember exactly when. I may have been a couple of years. What is your faith? What is it? Is your faith wrapped up in your sincerity? Is your faith wrapped up in your immovable stand in a particular belief? Is that what faith is? In the Bible, the Lord tells us that faith has to do with Christ himself in the glory of his person and in the power of his finished work. Many people today, because of the false gospel, the popular one that says that God loves everybody, Christ died for everybody, now you've got to have faith. The rest is up to you. You've got to make the difference. Well, they have faith. But not this kind of faith, not the faith that makes us whole. They have faith in their faith. I remember Brother Mahan used to bring that. They believe in themselves. But that's not faith. That's not biblical faith that makes us whole. Our faith is not in our faith. Faith is a God-given revelation from God that shows us who Jesus Christ is and what he accomplished, his ability, his power, his willingness to save us from our sins. And you cannot separate God-given faith from its foundation, which is the Word of God, and its object, which is Christ. Her faith was not in her faith. Her faith was in the ability and the willingness of Christ to make her whole. So what is your faith? What is my faith? The Bible says in Romans 1:17 that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, because therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. From the revelation of God, the knowledge of God, to that knowledge received. We don't believe in ourselves. We believe in Christ. And that's what this man, Jairus, his faith was in Christ. That's what this woman with the issue of blood, her faith was in Christ. And that kind of faith is not natural to people. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. That faith is a gift, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So how do we judge the validity of our faith? We judge the validity of our faith by its object. Is my faith, in whom I believe, is it the true Christ of this book? Or is it a counterfeit? Or is it something else or someone else? Is it myself? If I think I made the difference between heaven and hell, then it's in me. Is my faith in the glory of his person, who Christ is? This man worshiped him. What does that tell you? What he believed. He believed that this is God manifest in the flesh. The Messiah that was promised all those years in the Old Testament. Is my faith in Christ's ability to do what he said he could do? He's the Lord my righteousness. Is he able to produce such a righteousness whereby God can be just to justify a sinner like me? I can't produce it. My faith does not equal it, but he can, and he did. And then is he willing to save me from my sins? And he said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You see, that's what faith is. What is your faith? Her faith was not in her ability to believe it. Her faith was in his ability to cure her. And that's a great picture of salvation. We spend our lives in false religion, going to many preachers, many doctors, and we come out worse than what we were before, confused, in idolatry. But when the Lord God gives us faith under the preaching of the gospel, that faith makes us whole, because that faith is in Christ, the great physician. The foundation and object of the ruler's faith, the Word of God in Christ, and this woman. Well, look at verse 23. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, they were already singing the funeral, sad songs, the funeral dirges. He said unto them, give place. That'd be equivalent to us saying, get lost. Get out of here. For the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. Well, they knew she was dead. He did too. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. Now, we're told in Mark and Luke that he took the mother and the father into the room, and Peter, I think Peter, James, and John, there were five people other than him. And it said, when he took her by the hand, the maid arose. Not only was he able, but he was willing. And that's what a picture of salvation, just like Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. Over in the book of, I think it's Mark. Mark said that he made this statement, and he said to her, and he spoke these words, I think it's Aramaic, Talitha kumi. Look at it in Mark chapter 5, verse 41. And what does that mean? It means, I say unto you, arise. That's all he had to do. And we know that all he had to do was think it. But he spoke, because I think he's showing here that the foundation of faith is the Word of God, the power. So I close out the lesson. In her restoration and a physical life, we see a great picture of sinners quickened, given life by the power of Christ, by the Holy Spirit in the new birth. And in this operation of the Spirit, God gives true faith in Christ for all salvation and brings his people to repentance of dead works and idolatry. That's the role of faith in salvation. Faith itself, believing itself doesn't save us. But in that salvation wherewith Christ heals us and saves us, he gives us faith to believe and to rest in him. Okay.